All right, Derek, you were not able to be here last week. Pat Clark ably sat in on this very podcast as we did the special edition, the Goodnight, Goodbye, Sweet Prince edition. You did not have a chance to really weigh in live here on the podcast.
And I got
to
get some stuff off my chest,
I think,
Mike.
You might have some stuff to get off your chest. So, Derek.
Yes.
This is not going to be what I would normally do, but let me just say, the microphone is yours, sir, and Jeffrey Skinner is no longer a Carolina Hurricane.
So you normally would not allow me to speak on the podcast, is that what you're saying?
I do my best.
Yeah, so I was caught off guard last weekend. Pat did a great job. I enjoyed listening to you guys. It's weird to hear you while driving in my car instead of standing 3 feet away from me, but I enjoyed what you guys had to say. That news caught me. I knew it was coming, but you just didn't know when. And of course it happened around dinner time, so I could not be a good husband and check my phone instead of talking to my wife. So that was a delight for me because I was being a bad person. But then I went and I wrote some stuff, put it up on 328 about my thoughts on what Skinner meant here, how that trade may have come to be, how the relationship got so frayed. I'm kind of glad in a way, Mike, that I didn't join you and Pat that night, because now I have the gift of an additional week to digest what we got back in that trade and maybe how it got to that point. My thoughts now aren't as negative as they were a week ago. I still don't think we got all we could have in that trade for myriad reasons. Like, it could, you know, things like that could date back more than a year of how did the relationship get handled so poorly? How did we let it get to this point where it got so public that everyone knew we're trading Skinner and the value got driven down? So it's a story of poor asset management, which is a story we've heard all too often here, Eddie Lackwhite. But we got what we could for it. I'm disappointed to see Skinner go. I don't know him personally beyond his smile that was so infectious at the All-Star game in 2011. When I started dating my now wife, and she was like, she was taking some pictures at FanFest for trianglesomething.com. I don't know what the hell website it was, but she was like, who is this tiny smiley guy? I like this tiny smiley guy. So I've always had that association. My wife has a Skinner jersey. She has an autographed pair of Skinner gloves. He's her favorite player. I'm sad to see him go for that reason. There are other on-ice reasons that you may love him, may not like him. If you're Eric Cole and want to kind of run the media circles of we let him get away with a lot of stuff. One thing I will say, though, is after listening to you and Pat and talk about the guys that Skinner's going to play with and having a good 1C for the first time, man, he might flirt with 40.
He could also flirt with 26.
Yeah. So I'm sad to see him go. I knew it was coming. I know this team is going to look different. And yeah.
Yeah. No, it's been interesting, the reaction since that podcast. And again, that was not intended to be, but very much of a kind of a quick take episode. Normally, we don't have such big news happening right before we kind of jump behind the mics, but we felt like it was good.
We're not Steve Dangle.
No. We're not used to that type of stuff happening. There was a few reactions to the way I ended the podcast in returns of saying my goodbye to Jeff Skinner.
which may not have been taken in the spirit in which I assume it was intended.
It was absolutely intended in that we loved you. We loved your time here. But now you're a Buffalo Sabre. And yeah. Since you are now a Buffalo Sabre, we must treat you as we treat all Buffalo Sabres, with disdain and with a bit of hatred.
Yeah.
And maybe even a bit of just gosh, we're sad you're there, because we know it's awful.
I may not have chosen the strength of word that you did, but I ended what I wrote about Jeff Skinner by saying, I hope you go 0-82.
Yeah, which is basically the same thing.
Right. It's said differently.
Yes. You're like, I wish you the Cleveland Browns.
Oh,
yeah. No, don't wish that on anybody.
I keep trying to make the Cleveland Browns my favorite NFL team, because where I was born and my parents have so many friends, they're all Cleveland Browns fans. But one, I can't do it because they suck. Two, I can't do it because they're never on TV. And three, I just don't care about the Cleveland Browns.
No. So Derek, should be a good episode tonight. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. I wanted to, again, kick it off by letting you get some of the skinny stuff off your chest.
Phrasing?
Exactly. and chest.
Not Kofi Kingston.
We want to talk a little bit about the Canes Goal Song watch. We got new numbers we could talk about, you know, for the jersey nerds out there. We could talk a little bit about numbers. We've got Mike Foreman on the podcast tonight, Executive Vice President of Marketing for your Carolina Hurricanes. Mike Foreman's going to join us a little later to talk about everything from social media to the goal song to hopefully he's going to announce a few promotions here live tonight on the podcast that maybe we haven't heard about yet. But you know, the other thing, I would be remiss, we're now just a few minutes into this, 328 right now is kind of without one of our stalwarts, our buddy, Mr. Workrate himself, Tom Edwards, is patching up, healing during last night's conclave, the yes. Royal Rumble portion of the Goal Song Conclave. Basically, Petey Pablo missed a spot where he was supposed to catch Tom as he was falling out of the ring, missed the spot, Tom fell, broke his leg.
Man.
Tom, we can say Tom is healing. He is doing well. He's going to be out of service and on the IR for more than a couple of weeks. But Tom, thoughts are with you tonight, sir, as we sit here and do this podcast. I'm sure we'll drink in your honor.
Yeah, I'd tell him we'd see him soon, but we'll see him before this podcast is put out.
Absolutely.
So, Tom, it was great to see you.
It was great to see you. Hit that damn X button.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this, the Marketing Conclave edition of Cheaters Never Win. Joining us tonight will be special guest, joining us on the Don with Fathom Realty guest line, Canes Executive Vice President of Marketing, Mike Foreman. We're going to talk goal songs, we're going to talk numbers, we're taking your cheat mail, we're drinking beer, and we're talking to you. My name's Mike.
This is Derek.
And we're listening to a much, much better version of Brass Bonanza than the Canes chose to be a potential goal song, because let's be honest, the techno edition of the Canes goal song contest was a heap trash dumpster fire. Derek, do we want to tell the people now where we ultimately came out on this decision? Do we want to kind of walk people through? I know we got 4 minutes in a couple of minutes.
I think we
got enough time to talk through this, though, before we get to 4 minutes.
Here's one thing.
Okay.
We did the intros. Mike, we are still part of a greater collective, are we not?
Derek, we are still the reigning, defending, undisputed podcast champions of the Sports Channel 8 Podcast Network. For those of you who aren't listening, Sports Channel 8 radio show on 10 to noon for like 2 more weeks.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's very good.
It's very good. I have heard they may still be around, but just not at that time slot because you're not bumping Logan.
No, God, no.
Okay, so Mike, yes, let's get to it. Let's get to the goal song. We have talked about it on Twitter. It's been the buzz of Kane's Twitter.
Which is good.
It's been good. Obviously, there have still been disagreements, but these are more fun. These are more jovial disagreements. We've decided. We have landed on one song. I think you tweeted out today on our behalf that we have eliminated a lot of songs. And do we want to start with what we've eliminated and why those songs are complete tire fires?
Yes, Derek, I'll allow you to start. Please do.
Starting at the very bottom, Avicii.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask this to Mike. Why in the hell would you include last year's goal song on a poll to pick the new goal song? That's just dumb.
It's lazy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Maybe there is a subset of fans out there who really liked it, and this was their way to appease them. I think also near the bottom of that,
mm-hmm.
Nirvana.
Oh. Of all Nirvana songs.
Yeah, I mean, like why would you go? I mean, Nirvana, I mean, it's good, you know, grunge music, but maybe double the speed on that, but no.
But they say, yeah. That song, also awful, set that ablaze.
Yes, done.
All right, Mike, I'm taking the easiest one here.
Take it.
techno remix brass bonanza.
Okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah, let's dissect this one, because there's a lot there.
So you and I unabashedly enjoy Brass Bonanza.
Absolutely.
We were very excited when it has been played in the arena. We're very excited with the way it has been brought back with this team and this organization. What has been horrible about this Brass Bonanza is Brass Bonanza is not, nor will it ever be, an appropriate goal song.
Correct.
It is a good enter onto the ice song. It is a good, you know, kitschy, once a game, maybe
a play it here and there and let's all have some fun together song.
Right. It is not the song that you want to play, hopefully 4 to 5 times a night in the PNC Arena when the Carolina Hurricanes scored. That said, the abomination that is the techno remix of Brass Bonanza that they put out there for the vote, I have to just imagine that's... I mean, they put that out there so that way it wouldn't win, right?
I'm thinking so. I don't know. One, I don't know why that piece of music was created.
Right. I mean, it's
and I don't know why it made... that one is just awful. I think you're right. Like, maybe they threw the turd in the punch bowl so that no one would pick it.
That has to be the only answer, right?
Ugh.
Okay, so I just... The other part, and some people in Whalers land have said, you know, get your own song. That's fine. Guess what? It was never your goal song, Whalers. We hope it never to be our goal song.
Yeah.
Here's my worry, Derek. And we're going to talk about this with Foreman, and we're going to get into this, so I'm not going to go too deep. I believe that other fan bases could try to sabotage the goal song vote by selecting Techno Brass Bonanza to just, you know, this is, I can't remember what the name of the boat was that they had to name.
Bodie McBoatface.
Yes. This Techno Brass Bonanza could be our Bodie McBoatface.
Yeah. However, the Canes have made the vote results not public. At least at this point, they may publish the final results, but there's no way to go on to CarolinaHurricanes.com and see which song is leading. And it's also not the only factor. So
yeah, so we'll talk a little bit about that with Foreman.
We'll dive in there. The Led Zeppelin, rock and roll.
Gone.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's not a good goal song.
Okay, so
great song, not a good goal song.
Yeah, so we're down. Oh, and House of Pain, Jump Around, generic. Everyone uses that song for something. It is the Seven Nation Army of early 90s rap.
Yes, agreed with you. So
we're down to three songs that I think could be a contender. We have one that was selected by 328 staffer Hannah.
Yes.
She chose Muse. I believe the song's called Uprising. I don't know because they never say it at any point in the song, which would have been nice of the boys at Muse. We are down to that. We are down to DMX. I think the song's called Party Up.
It is.
Okay. And apparently because the other song has to end in a preposition, we have the song that I fear is going to win, Petey Pablo, Raise Up. So, Mike, of those three that we have declared as our top three, surprise here, Mike, you get to speak for 328.
So, Derek, as we all looked at this, right, and obviously as we saw them come up, let's just say the honorable mention songs, both Tom and I had suggested a couple of different WWE wrestler entrance songs.
And I was fully on board with Tom's.
Sami Zayn.
Once the scene was painted, that became mine over all three that I picked.
Yes, the Sami Zayn entrance music was the one I was most disappointed did not make the final cut, because I think that would make a phenomenal goal song, and Mike Foreman and other people are going to have to answer for that. But I just wanted to point that out, because that would have been our favorite. So you would think, since Hannah had suggested Muse, if you go back to section328.com, look at our goal song suggestions, that's one of the ones that Hannah put out there. Again, Meg also put some phenomenal ones out there, but you would think we would be like, oh, we all have to back Hannah. And we really, really wanted to. But the problem is, I think they used the wrong part of the song.
Mm-hmm.
There's different parts of the song that kind of, there's a chorus, I think there's like a minute 40, minute 50 in, something like that, that just feels like a better place to put in, and maybe that's where they were going. But when we whittled it down to three, Hannah got tossed over the top rope. Wasn't pretty. And now we're down to two.
Mm-hmm.
We're down to Petey Pablo, Durham Ale House's own.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think he's from Durham. I think he's from down east. But yeah, you can catch him at a local ale house.
Petey Pablo and our boy DMX throwing up a little party up. So Derek, it was let's talk through this just a little bit. What are the pros of Petey Pablo?
He's local. I don't know how the licensing works on music, but if you have to pay the artist, pretty confident Petey's fees are less than Mr. Earl Simmons' fees right now.
I would agree.
And you could, since he is local, you could probably get him to come sound the siren, you know, and just toss him a $25 alehouse gift card.
Or could you actually get a Petey Pablo concert after a game?
Maybe, but who's staying for the second song?
All of us, because the second song will be Raise Up.
No, what's the first song?
Who cares?
919, Freak-a-Leak.
Freak-a-Leak. But, okay, so let's look at some of the repercussions, though. What happens if we pick Petey Pablo, right? It's North Carolina, come on and raise up. Take your shirt off, spin it around your head like a helicopter. Folks, we all know how this ends.
Safety glasses night?
It ends up on guys who are pasty like me and are shaped like me or shaped like formerly me without their shirts on, spinning them around at a Carolina Hurricanes hockey game. I'm not saying that's a good thing. You know what, Derek? It adds a little bit of je ne sais quoi to the goal celebrations, mm-hmm. maybe. Mm-hmm. It allows the younger kids, particularly, you know, nothing's cooler than like an 8-year-old, you know, like a little jacked up 8-year-old kid who's just going at it, man. I mean, because that's kind of cool. So I can see that, because that we've talked a lot about, we want to change the culture. We want to change what's in the arena. That helps, because that celebration is something everybody kind of gets jazzed about and joins in. So that may not be a bad idea.
That part's not bad. However, the way the Canes have played it on their website, it starts with the chorus, because I think the song starts with the chorus. But then the beginning of the next verse, and let's keep this clean for the podcast because, you know, iTunes ratings and whatnot. It starts off with Petey asking a question, who am I? To which he answers that he is Petey Pub. Right. So we're now encouraging upwards of 17,000 to yell profanity in the building.
But flip side of that, when someone goes, who am I? And we could go, Svechnikov Mafa. That's fun. I like that.
No, that's fun. I like that idea too. I would love to do that. How many people are going to get booted from their seats the first time they play along with that?
We're going to ask that to Mike Foreman. And we're going to go to the Mike Foreman interview right now.
And people are going to have to wait. We'll let you know what we picked after the break.
Let's go to the Don with Fathom Realty guest line.
This is Don Meyer with Fathom Realty, official realtor of Section 328. You can find me at becauseitshome.com. I am as passionate about helping you make your next move as I am about the Carolina Hurricanes. On average, homes sold by my firm sell 78 days quicker than other homes on the MLS, getting money in your pocket sooner. Buyers also get exclusive strategic representation in the seller's market. Contact me at becauseitshome.com to learn more.
And Derek, we welcome on the Don with Fathom Realty guest line, the executive vice president of marketing. And rumor has it, potential cloaked member of the GM by committee foundation, Mike Foreman, how the hell are you? Why did you trade Jeff Skinner?
That's a good question. So when Don and I started discussing it, no, I'm kidding. Unfortunately, marketing does not have a seat at the table there.
You figured in marketing, you'd be making your life easier by trading a guy like Jeff Skinner, right?
It's every day is a different day in the marketing world.
There you go. So it is actually a very interesting time in the marketing world. So I want to get to what has been the buzz of Canes Twitter for the last 28 hours or so, Mike, which has been the announcement of the 8 finalists for the Canes new goal song contest. And we say that tongue in cheek because there's seven finalists and one lazy marketing ploy to just let people have a chance to think they actually get to keep Avicii. So, Mike, tell us how you got to these final seven.
Sure. So we started, we wanted to crowdsource just kind of the nominations back in, might be May at this point, either May or early June. And, you know, honestly didn't know how much interest there'd be from our fans, and how many actually even notice some things like that in game. And we had over 1500 nominations. And that's after we had a group of about 20 people internally, that brainstormed a list of about 100 songs. So most, if not all of those, overlapped with the fans' nominations, but it was great to see that many people with that much interest in it. And from there, it took a long time to sift through those because, unfortunately, there are a lot of other projects going on in conjunction. And also, it takes a while to narrow down a list of probably over 1,000 unique songs down to 8. So here we are in the first week of August, and we finally came to that list of 8. And you know, like music, like apparel, like design, we know you're never going to appease everyone, but hopefully you come up with that song that kind of pleases the most.
Completely understand. We had gotten behind Tom, Mr. Workrate's suggestion of Sami Zayn from the WWE's entrance music because it had a lot of things that were fun, they were catchy, it was simple, and they could have a lot of crowd involvement. But this isn't the first time we've had WWE music requests rejected. And Mike, we know you're not the sole person responsible, but you're the sole person for the organization we're talking to tonight. Why do you hate the WWE?
That's a good question. However, I think we're going to excite you guys in the next few weeks in that regard. So stay tuned, all of you WWE fans out there.
So what you're saying is soon for purchase in the eye is a Hurricanes championship belt. Did we hear you correct there, Mike Foreman?
That's a good question. That's actually a good suggestion. There's actually one on our ticket sales floor currently. The top seller each week gets the WWE Canes branded championship belt. Maybe that's a good idea to make available for retail as well.
I can tell you what, we as the Cornhole World Champions of the World would absolutely purchase one so that way we could give it to ourselves every Cornhole tournament. So, Mike, let me ask you, words have meanings. And as we looked at this, I was like, oh, this is very exciting. And then I'm reading, and it says, it never says the fans' vote decides. It says the fans' vote helps us decide. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to get an understanding of, is there a weighted balance to this? Is it 80% fan vote? Is it 99% Tom Dundon and then 1% you? or how does this actually play out? Can you tell us, once we get to 11:59 p.m. on August 13th, how the Canes and the Caniac organization decide what is actually the goal song? And will we hear that during the first preseason game, or do we have to wait till Svechnikov's first goal in the first minute on 10-4?
Well, we hope he scores in the first minute for sure. Our goal would be to have it from preseason game one on. So we don't want to test out songs at that point. We want to make sure we have the song that was selected and have that going from day one. So that's our goal there. Back to your original question, the weighted percentages. All honesty, I would say it's probably split into thirds. I would go fan vote, collective team marketings, and I would probably say Tom and Don are going to have a strong input as well on it, as they should. So I would say it honestly will be split into thirds like that. From our perspective, we hope our internal choice is this matches up with what the fans say. Hopefully matches up with what Don and Tom are thinking, and then it's an easy decision. If it goes a different way from that, that's when we'll have to discuss a little more. But the way it's shaping up early, and I can give you guys at least numbers on votes. We are sitting here. It is 7 p.m. On Wednesday the 8th. Sorry, that probably ruins when you guys actually release this, but and we had over 15,000 votes in about a day and a half. So great response already. And we did want to put that disclaimer in the language. That's a good eye, good catch on your guys' part, because we don't want another fan base or anyone else to try to sabotage this vote in any way, because we've seen comments in that regard that some other fan base just could pick this up on Reddit and, you know, and continue to pack the votes in for a song that might be towards the bottom of our nominations, and we're not going to let that happen. So we think we're going to come up with the right song that, again, no one is never going to be a song that pleases everyone, but we think we're going to find one that pleases a great deal of fans.
Agreed that we don't want other fan bases coming in and voting for Techno Brass Bonanza, because no one wants that. So, Mike, what song are you personally rooting for? I'm betting you won't share what the internal group at large is rooting for, but what song would you love to hear, oh, I don't know, 600 times next season?
Probably 500, but that's still pretty good. If you want to see how much my vote counts, my song that I suggested didn't even make the top eight. So that's how much my vote counts around here. I had Hip Hop Hooray was my vote. So a little bit of the old school hip hop. I think it had the crowd reaction already built in. People know what to do. But we all liked the eight suggestions as well that became the final nomination. So everyone probably had one or two songs that they wish made that final eight. But again, we tried to find the eight that we could get the majority of us to agree on at least.
Mike, you did a great job of sidestepping the question. Do we want to give you a chance?
You're welcome. Thank you.
So you don't want to go on record to say which of the eight is your favorite. Did we hear that correctly?
No, I don't want to drive anyone's decision one way or another. They might go exactly with what I say or can't stand anything I say and go the opposite direction. So I'm going to leave it to you guys. You guys will see shortly. We're hoping to plan a pretty cool announcement, hopefully, with whomever wins, to have them part of it as well.
Huh. Yeah. So it'll be a short drive.
Yeah, short drive. It's okay, Mike. We're about to announce, as soon as we finish this interview, we are going to announce the results of the 328 conclave, and we are going to alert the masses whom we are backing. The white smoke will rise from the Section 328 headquarters here, and we hope to be able to have 5% influence on that 35%, which by my Scott Steiner math means that's
133rd and third. I don't know.
It's a lot. So Mike, we're really excited. Thank you guys. You know, did a really kind of bang up job on that. You've kind of made it fun. Speaking of fun, can we talk about Kane's new social media? There has been such a freshness with the new hire, with our boy Dan. I believe it's Dan, right?
That's right.
Okay, with our boy Dan, who's just brought in this freshness of just engagement and positivity and fun. Can you tell us a little bit about, for those who don't know, maybe a little bit about Dan's background, but kind of go into what is the mindset for managing Kane's Twitter going into this new season?
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys are spot on there. Dan LaDaraca is an absolute superstar in the social and digital business. We're really fortunate. We have, you know, a lot of social coordinators, social managers and directors stay somewhat anonymous because they're behind the team accounts. And usually the ones you hear about, it's because they do something to separate themselves. And Dan's a name that everyone in our industry and people even outside of the industry knew. His background is he spent about 6 years or so, about 2010 or 11 to 2016, with the Carolina Panthers. And for those that follow the Panthers accounts, whether you're a fan or not, you know they have one of the best social accounts across all their platforms in all sports. They are as engaging as anyone. They're behind the scenes, exclusive content, the way they get fans involved, the way they interact with their players on social. He helped and was the lead in building that entire brand on social. From there, Dan left for a pretty good opportunity up in Brooklyn for Brooklyn Sports and Entertainment, and primarily dealing with the Nets, and became the senior director of digital and oversaw a big staff there. And he was there for just under a year. Him and his wife had a young daughter, and they wanted to be close to family. And I think like many of us do, I did actually did the same thing when I moved out to California for a year, but you move away from North Carolina and you almost can't wait to move back. And Dan had those feelings. And we had actually posted a job when Coop Elias left back in December for a social manager level and got a bunch of applicants. And by the end of early to mid January, and I liked a lot of candidates. I wouldn't say there was one that stood out that I thought could take our team to the next level on social. So had a good talk internally, and our staff thought they could handle the workload to finish out the season. And, you know, credit to Derek Holt, Nikki Stout, Michael Smith, what they were able to do to hold down the fort, being a person down from our social staff, was phenomenal throughout the year. We reposted the position in April once the season ended and posted again at that manager level position. And then Dan happened to DM me out of the blue, saying he liked some of the stuff we were doing. And, you know, he saw the job description. He had some interest in moving down to North Carolina. Was there, you know, any opportunity to grow that position? Because, you know, his experience level did, you know, kind of exceed what the position we had posted. And, you know, credit to Don and Tom. You know, I presented to them a candidate that I think was worth more than what we were currently looking to pay, what their current job responsibilities were. And they gave me a yes, basically without hesitation. You know, they decided if we could up our game on social, that's really going to up our brand as a whole. So they were able to, you know, provide me with an offer that I could extend to Dan to get him here. And he said yes, and he's been unbelievable since day one.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal just to see the amount of interaction and things that seem like it's even more proactive instead of just, you know, reacting to what the fans send to you guys. So that's a lot of fun to see as a as another fan. You mentioned the brand of the Carolina Hurricanes, and the other big thing that's probably had an impact on the Carolina Hurricanes brand this offseason was what was rolled out night one of the NHL draft, which is the new third jerseys. Obviously, a lot of detail went into those. Obviously, there are still some... You know, the reactions kind of run the spectrum. I'm not fully on board yet because I want to see them on a team as a whole. I want to see the whole uniform itself. I want to see all that on the ice because sometimes things that look great as just a jersey look wretched on the ice and vice versa. So I know I'm personally holding out my opinion, but that's the design part is not really what I want to ask you about or just how it looks. But how long had something like that been in the works, and how hard is it? Because I know you guys teased pieces of the jersey here and there, and you get people guessing. How hard is it to make sure that the finished product doesn't leak ahead of what you guys put so many months of hard work into?
Yeah, it's a really long process, and I'm not sure everyone realizes that entirely. It's anywhere usually from an 18 to 24 month process to redesign a uniform and roll it out. So our final design was actually due last August. And then the first day we were able to unveil it per the league was draft night, and we took that opportunity to do it first.
You had that sitting there, and you all couldn't say a word for 10 months?
Couldn't say a word. In fact, that jersey, the prototype's actually been on the back of the door in my office since probably January or so. I had that just in my office for 6 months prior. Yeah, no pressure. For about 6 months prior. It is a long process, and it's funny because sometimes it's a hurry up and wait process. Is that the league and Adidas has these really tight deadlines, and you hit that deadline and then you don't even see the prototype for like 3 months after that. So you work really hard to get to that date, and then waiting till you see it in person. And it always looks different in person than it does on paper. And, you know, in all honesty, usually it's for the better that, you know, something when you can feel something and see the fabric and the texture of everything, it comes to life even more so than it does on paper. And then even beyond that, the logo is actually something we've been talking about for probably three and a half years. I will have been here 5 years come December. And that was something that was discussed probably a year into my tenure here. So that's something that's been in the works and been talked about for a long time. So we'd actually wanted to introduce that logo or something similar probably 2 years ago. And then when the changeover was coming from Reebok to Adidas, it really didn't make sense because we knew the third jerseys were going to go away for a season for every team to introduce it the year prior. So we actually held off on that for 2 years because of that switch over to Adidas. And then you asked me about the concern about leaked products. That's always a concern. For anyone that followed the Lakers and their jersey unveil last week or 2 weeks ago, that seemed to be a disaster. It seemed like, you know, there were Models and Dicks across the country that were putting the jerseys on the sales rack before they even had released the, you know, released the design on, you know, Lakers.com. It's tough. You want to keep it pretty tight-lipped, even just within the office, because all it takes, I'm not saying anyone within the office would go out to someone in the media or out publicly, but all it takes is to them tell one person and then that one other person tells someone else. It just grows like wildfire. You know, there were some rumors out there that you almost got the feeling that they knew more than they probably should. There was a Reddit thread, and we're following all this, obviously, and there was a Reddit thread where there were just some details that were being tossed out there that was like, there is no way someone should know those details. And it didn't completely get out the design, but there were aspects to it that were out there. But luckily, that was probably 2 or 3 days prior to the unveiling. It wasn't like it was weeks or months in advance, and we were able to keep it pretty tight-lipped for the most part.
So this is kind of getting in the weeds a little bit, but that Reddit thread, because like you said, that one, in retrospect, once you guys released the jersey, everyone looked at it and went, boy, that was pretty darn close. When you see a thread like that and you know how close what's submitted is to the real thing, are you more anxious, frustrated, how did this get out? Or is it, hey, at this point, it's 2 days in advance, this kind of helps build some buzz?
Probably both, to be honest. You know, it's one of those where, like you said, we submitted design almost 10 months in advance of the jersey being unveiled. And it can be a little frustrating when you go that long and then just a few days prior, there's some pieces to it that are getting tossed out there publicly a little bit. But at the same time, it's getting people talking about it. And, you know, we will always take that type of attention. And it was positive attention. Whether you love the design or hated the design, at least you were talking about it. And we just want to be relevant in our market. We want to be relevant nationally, internationally. So if it gets people talking, you know, we're going to be excited about that still.
Well, Mike, we appreciate your time. We're looking forward to all of the exciting things. So as we sit here in the dog days of hockey offseason in mid-August, what are some of the things the Carolina Hurricanes fans can begin to look forward to as the take warning marketing kind of ramps up on this new season? Are there any, you know, promotions you'd like to talk about? Or, you know, would you like to describe in detail the bobblehead you guys are giving away opening night? Please tell the fans. I mean, and there's only like three people listening. One of them's Don, but still, go ahead. Tell the fans, what can we expect?
Hey, Don. and also, I would be remiss not to say to Mr. Tom Edwards, I hope he gets better soon. That was a tough photo to have to wake up to in the morning to see the broken leg. So I hope he gets better as well. He's probably one of the three listeners as well. So hi, Tom, as well.
You can send him a bagel of your choice.
I will send him a bagel. What can fans look forward to? There's a few things that are we're building that have, you know, been really successful the past few years, and we're continuing to grow. And then some new things that either have already been announced or will be announced here in the next 2 weeks or so. You know, Homegrown is coming back for year three, and to be completely honest, we're not revamping it completely because it's been really successful and we've gotten really positive feedback. We already have some t-shirt vendors and artists locked in, working already on bands. We're working internally on some of the food offerings and beer offerings, and, you know, hopefully trying to create some Canes branded beers would be one of our goals this year, to grow further from just offering beer flights on those nights. One thing that we're excited on that we're working on right now is we introduced our College Colors program last year, which we started in year one and was really successful with four schools. We knew we needed to start small just to see the type of campaign and what kind of success it can be. This year, it looks like we're going to be as large as 9 schools in North Carolina. So we're more than doubling that program, and the 5 new schools I think we're all really excited about. And there are 5 schools that we heard a lot from fans that they wanted to be a part of this program. So currently working with those athletic departments and each of their licensing partners, which I don't wish upon my worst enemy to have to work all day with NCAA licensing partners. But we're moving on those, and I think we're going to have 9 schools this year, which is awesome. And then we have a couple of we're going to announce a bunch of theme nights, and I would say we're going to have probably 3 larger theme nights. One is going to be returnees, since it shouldn't be much of a surprise. It's been very successful for the last 3 or 4 years now. And then 2 new ones that have been thrown out there a little bit, so I don't think they will be a surprise, but they will be new, and I think they're going to be very popular.
Tell us about them, brother.
Yeah, very soon, I promise.
Soon, very soon. Guys, Mike Foreman, he is mForeman5, I believe, over on the Twitter machine, but he is your executive vice president of marketing for the Carolina Hurricanes, who I know has been burning the candle at both ends all summer to make sure this season goes absolutely phenomenally for us. So, Mike, we do appreciate you. We appreciate all the efforts that are putting in, and we look forward to seeing you at the rink shortly. Derek might have
I have a last question, and this may be out of your purview, Mike, but when I think of promotions, one of the things that stuck around for the last few months of the season was the discounted concessions that we all enjoyed so much. Any word that you know of if those are going to stick around?
Not that I know of yet. I don't have an answer for you. It's been discussed. Chris Diamond, who oversees our F&B, and Don and Tom, I know, have been in discussions about it. So I don't think a final decision's been made one way or another, but do know that it was received well. I don't know how it couldn't be, but received well by all last year. But I do not have an answer, unfortunately, yet on that.
That just popped up. So, Mike, I'm sorry. You were thinking Mike for his time.
I was thinking him for his time, but then all of a sudden, I guess last question. Does mm-hmm. Caroline live?
Ooh. Caroline is she's still alive. she must be off on an island this summer. She's gearing up for the season, and you should expect her to return.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if maybe she is going and hanging out at a beach house with the WSMS bombshell.
Ooh, that's possible as well. We can look into that.
Dropping a bombshell reference, there's no way we can go anywhere from here. Mike Foreman, thank you so much for taking a little bit of time out of your evening, sir. We look forward to seeing you. If nothing else, I'm sure we'll see you on September 30th at the Caniac Carnival when we have a packed house, when the Carolina Hurricanes take on the Nashville Predators, and then opening night against some team from Long Island that no one really cares about. Mike, we appreciate it, man. Have a good evening.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Thank you, Mike Foreman. Mike Foreman, hell of a guy.
Good people.
Yeah, good people, and I think the Canes marketing department continues to be in good hands with Mike. Derek, before we were so rudely interrupted by Mike Foreman, we were talking through the final two.
I say, before we kind of looked at the clock and went, oh shit, we got to talk to Mike. And yeah. We didn't mean to tease everybody that badly. Or did we?
We may have. Derek, we are down to the final two. We were debating the pros and cons of Petey Pablo versus DMX.
Yes. So let's just get to it, Mike. We've belabored the point enough. The song that 328 is behind in the Carolina Hurricanes goal song vote is... Mike, I'll give you the honors.
That's right, Derek. Section 328 has firmly decided to put our grand total of 6 votes? Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose... Where? Where? Oh, that's our bit. We've been doing that in section where? Oh.
And now, Mike, let me stop you real quick. You're going to want to cut this out before where? The first verse starts.
Whoa.
Yeah, just, you know, for the family-friendly tag.
Where?
Oh. Yeah, you really stop that, like, right now, Mike. Okay. Whew. That was close, because he was going to get through a few lines, and allow me, I will edit this as best I can. How the you going to cross the dog with some bum... there go the gun click, 911, all over some dumb, ain't that some, y'all, remind me of a strip club, because every time I come around, it's like I just gotta get my blank blanked. I'm betting the PNC staff is not gonna play that.
Well, they play it some. I mean, they would loop out of that. Although, and I do love your blank blank Gene Rayburn. I was like solid. That might be the most solid Gene Rayburn in the 5 years of this podcast.
Thank you.
No. Okay, Derek, let's be honest, right? It's going to be Petey Pablo.
We know it's going
to be. It's Raise Up. We are going to do everything we can to skew the vote towards Party Up because we like it. We think it's fun, and we don't want to encourage people. But the more that I talk about it, Derek, like we've been here, like I feel like I've almost changed a little bit because the fact of at the end of that where he goes, Petey Pob, and then whoever the goal scorer is, the crowd can in unison can go, Svechnikov, motherfucker! And I will say it. All of the letters, I will pronounce them appropriately until I am thrown out because I would be like, you people made this decision. You did this to me.
Much like you had to enunciate for the usher one time who thought you were screaming F yeah when you said foul. Yeah.
Yes.
And we would always yell foul as to not be on the wrong side of the ushers.
That is correct.
So that's where we stand. DMX Party Up is our choice. No offense to Hannah and her choice of Muse Uprising. Perfectly fine song, but to me, that song sounds like I am navigating the menus of the EA Sports games.
I can see that. And, you know, props to Foreman. I'm okay with Hip Hop Array as well.
Yeah, not a bad choice.
No, not a bad choice. You know what also is not a bad choice?
What's that, Mike?
Going to some cheat mail, gotta go get some cheat mail.
Mike, this first one comes to us from Dan McLaughlin, Patreon supporter Dan McLaughlin. You're named the new commissioner of the NHL. Congrats! Can't guarantee that you don't get booed, though. What are the three things you do to improve the game and or the league?
Ooh, very nice. So what are the... So how about you take one, I'll take one, and then we'll toss in a third. So the first thing that I do is I add a 30-second team to the National Hockey League as quickly as possible. And I redo all of the divisions NFL style to four-team regional divisions. And in the new old Southeast Division, I give you the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Florida Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Nashville Predators.
I like that.
I do too. That's why I'm the commissioner.
All right,
that's why they made me the commissioner. Derek, what are you doing?
God, what the hell am I doing? Getting rid of the shootout.
Ooh, that one's gonna be quite controversial. Tell me how you go about
because
it.
Because there's no way that 10 minutes of 3-on-3 overtime doesn't settle it.
But what happens if it doesn't?
I don't know. Coin flip.
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, why not?
Because it's basically the same thing as the shootout.
It's equally arbitrary.
I don't hate that idea.
Okay.
Third, I give every team in the National Hockey League one outdoor game for their fan base.
Every year?
Single team gets one outdoor game if they want it every single year.
Ooh, that sounds like too many.
But, Derek, how many outdoor games have you watched the last 2 years? Exactly.
Few
to none.
Because it seems like they're always Chicago or Pittsburgh.
Exactly. But what if you had one game every year to look forward to that the Carolina Hurricanes were going to play in Carter-Finley Stadium?
It'd be fun. I wouldn't watch it on TV.
Exactly. But it's not for the TV-going audience. You do this one for the fans.
Yeah.
And you let the team pick they do it.
For me, I like where you're thinking. Maybe you get to host every other year.
Okay. I'm okay with that too.
Because if you're trying to fill anywhere between a 40 and an 80,000 seat stadium, you kind of want two fan bases to contribute. So
I can see that. So every other year, as co-commissioner, I like that idea. With that. Dan McLaughlin, nice job. Those are our three things. Let's see. Let's go directly here to our buddy Woj da God. Chris Wojcik, the term is usually day to day, but would you say Mr. Worker is more likely week to week or even month to month?
I would say he's at this point, not having seen him, I'm going to guess month to month.
I think before he's back on the ice, absolutely, he'd be month to month at this point. Yeah. We can say Mr. Workrate has successfully exited surgery during the course of this podcast. Immediately after this podcast, you and I will be going to go see him and see how Tom reacts to all of the good drugs.
Also, I think at this in the playoffs, the team would say he's out with an upper body injury because the playoffs are liars.
Yes, that is correct.
Let's go to this is an interesting one, and maybe one that might be a better question for me, but I like it and I'm reading it from William Wells at William I Wells 1. You guys want to join the Fix the Font crusade for NHL 19? So I was not aware of this, so I had to go back and look at his timeline. And because I usually play, if I'm playing the NHL video games, I rarely play franchise modes. I'm playing usually EASHL or Ultimate Team or something like that. Apparently the font on Kane's jerseys has been incorrect now for a couple seasons, and it doesn't appear from the beta to have been fixed in NHL 19. So Mike, how do you feel about EA getting the font right so they can say that it's hashtag in the game?
I think if it's going to be in the game, it should be in the game.
I mean, hell, for years the PNC Arena wasn't in, and no. They blamed the bank, but PNC Park in Pittsburgh was in. So get it together, EA.
Yeah.
Fix the font.
I have not played. That'll be next week's podcast. Let's both play a little NHL.
You can't. The beta's closed.
Oh. Well, damn.
I played it. It was fun.
Okay. There's your review. Derek played it. It was fun. Derek could play against me, and he would score quite a bit. Derek, I'm going to go to our buddy K to the RL. He is the Carl Cucumbers, as that other Kane shoddy podcast doesn't know how to pronounce his name. Carl, we love you. You are Carl Kikas, and we don't care what Mike Maniscalco says. Mike, F, Mary, kill, Kane's Twitter, Kane's Reddit, Kane's Facebook.
Oh, Jesus. So, oh. F, Mary, kill, Kane's Reddit, Twitter, and Facebook.
Correct.
Okay. This one's easy. Killing Kane's Facebook.
Okay.
Because Facebook comments are the new local news station comments. Because most local news stations have gotten hip to the fact that it's the worst of people who comment on those. And I feel like that's Facebook now for fan pages. So I'm killing that. As someone who works in social media, I know that Facebook is also just always a delight to work with. So, I'm going to put that there. I personally enjoy Reddit. I know Kane's Reddit sometimes, and Reddit, hell, and Twitter, I'll get there later, can become an echo chamber. But I like Kane's Reddit. I'm gonna F Kane's Reddit. Because sometimes it can go too far, and the in-jokes sometimes can be kind of hard to follow if you're not frequently reading Kane's Reddit, but I like it. I'm going to marry Kane's Twitter. I love Twitter. You probably know that if you know me. I'm active on the bird machine. I like it for all its faults and for all the times that its CEO and founder puts his tweet in his mouth. I enjoy Twitter. I really do. I know sometimes it's less a conversation and more people talking at each other, but I like Twitter and I like most of Kane's Twitter. Even when Kane's Twitter gets into the infighting, I still enjoy it for what it is. So.
Yeah, Kane's Twitter is still better than a lot of other Twitters. The other thing that's nice about the Twitter is the fact of when you do disagree, there is a DM solution where you can reach out and maybe have conversations that are not great held out in the public forum. But we've had some really good conversations with friends and made new friends via the DM channel. Derek, that is the only appropriate answer. I thought that one was going to be harder than it was. But then knowing that, you know, you have to kill Kane's Facebook because don't read the comments.
Yeah, for real.
Don't ever read the comments.
No, don't do that. So I've got one for you here, Mike.
Okay.
This is from another one of our Patreon supporters, Jason Mariani. Got any new chance for us to hear at home games this season?
That is a great question, Derek. I think we're actually working on a few of these. And really what we do is we try to let these chants be organic. I think what we're going to be doing, though, maybe, is doing a little work with some of our other Kane group fans. I'm thinking the Red Eye Rowdy. Shout out to the boys over at the Red Eye Redvolution. Killer stickers, by the way, guys. They're a bunch of soccer lover and loving hooligans who are trying to bring their brand of fandom to the PNC Arena. So I think we're probably going to be workshopping a few things during the preseason. you know, we need some songs. We know we need some more songs. There's constantly a few things that get added and taken away. Great question, Jason. What I would suggest that you do is join us for a preseason game in Section 328. Bring your best, and let's see what gets picked up, because all of these things really, really are organic. The whole DMX thing was just an organic thing that actually Tom's kids did one day that we all may have either been drunk or drunk with power. Thought it was the funniest thing ever, which is why we still do that. Speaking of drunk and drunk with power, Derek, is there a place on Creedmoor Road that I could go to buy beverages that are not only delicious, but may also give me a slight buzz?
Well, yes, there is, Mike.
Oh, where would I find this place?
There's a delightful place. So if you're coming from Crabtree, you're going to go about 3 miles north. It's going to be on the left. If you're coming from 540, you're going to go about a mile south. It's going to be on your right. It's in Brennan Station. It's called Bottle Mix. And you can go in there and you can see Bruce and you can see all the great people there. If you want wine, they got lots of wine. I could talk wine, but wine and hockey aren't always the or tailgates and wine aren't always the best combination. So I like to talk beers, but that doesn't mean that Bottle Mix doesn't have great wines and great tastings. They had a heck of a tasting last Friday night, some delicious stuff there, and really good stuff, you know, that you can get as low as like $10 a bottle or so. So just because you may not know wine, you can go talk to the people there. They'll give you a great education on wine, but not be snobs about it. And you can walk out and you can get a great bottle of wine for not a lot of money. But I'm here to talk about beer tonight, Mike, and the reason I talked about wine so much is this is a beer that is inspired by wine, and it's made by Allagash. They're up in Maine, and this beer is called Two Lights. It is not...
I got two lights.
Not quite like that. So
okay.
According to their website, Allagash's, not Bottle Mix's, Two Lights is an ode to two of the more refreshing drinks of summer. Cold beer, check. Sparkling wine, check. I like both of those. While brewing this beer, we add Sauvignon Blanc must, so like the yeasty kind of leftover parts of the juice, the freshly pressed juice of the grapes. Boy, way to show how much I know. They then ferment it with, there you go, lager and champagne yeast to create a tart, crisp, dry profile. The finished beer's aroma of pear, grape, and light hops pair with a flavor profile that's a mix of tropical fruit and the snappy spritz of freshly picked grapes. We suggest sipping Two Lights by a water source too large to see across. So that'd be a lake, an ocean, or just a really, really obscenely wide river, maybe at the delta of a river. But don't sip this by a creek. You're just going to piss off the brewers. So this beer, it's called Two Lights, but I don't think they called it that because of the color, but it is very light in color. It fails the Mike Flanagan light test with flying colors. It's very light in color. It's that like pale yellow. It is kind of reminiscent in color of champagne, which is kind of cool. And it is just really, really refreshing. I'm trying to think of the way to best describe this. I think that snappy spritz with a little bit of fruit is right. It's just super refreshing. It's crisp. It finishes really clean. It doesn't have really a whole lot of malty backbone or really any hops. So if you're not a beer drinker, this may be a great beer to sip on because it comes in a 12-ounce bottle. And it's not a can, so it's kind of tough to sip poolside, but you can throw it in a cooler and sip it lakeside or sip it seaside or any body of water that's too wide to see across. Really tasty stuff. Highly recommend it. Great summer beer. It's so good cold. It is 6 point, I can't tell if that's 2 or 7 because they put yellow font on a off-white label, so damn you Allagash for that. But it's in the 6% alcohol range. 12-ounce bottle. Runs like a couple few bucks a bottle. And it's really, really tasty stuff. So head up on Creedmoor Road to Bottle Mix. Go see Bruce. Tell him you heard about Two Lights on the Cheaters Never Win podcast and that you'd like to buy some. We heard from some friends that they picked up some of the Founder's Solid Gold that we talked about last time as beer-flavored beer and that it worked out really well. So thank you, folks, for going in and taking care of the sponsors who take such great care of us. We truly appreciate hearing that. Mike? I'm done talking about beer and fumbling over myself when I forgot what must was, and I didn't read ahead to see that Allagash had defined it, and then I felt like a jackass for misinforming people.
You could have ended that sentence with a period word sooner and still been correct. because you still feel like a jackass to
me. Oh, okay. That was several words sooner.
Something like that. Words. You say words have meanings, and me, well, I just say words. Folks, we greatly appreciate everyone taking the time to listen tonight. Thanks to Mr. Michael Foreman for joining us from the Carolina Hurricanes Marketing Department. Thank all of you guys. Thank all of our Patreon supporters. Thanks to the folks who listen. Thanks for the folks who listen and rate and review this podcast, who share it, who interact with us over on Twitter. We really do appreciate it. We know it's the dead season. It's a couple more weeks before we get a chance to get together and watch a preseason game. Oh, but Ooh. Wait, we do have one last thing to close out the podcast with. We have been diligently working in the background with a local, let's call it a legendary art house style movie theater here in Raleigh.
I think it's called Theater.
Theatra. We've been working with the good folks who run the Rialto and saying, God, please, 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 we need a preseason viewing of Slapshot to kick off this upcoming season properly. And after 6 months of negotiations and conversations, we are happy to announce that on September 30th at 7 p.m., the Rialto Theater in Five Points here in Raleigh will be screening full-length 1977 legendary Paul Newman movie, Slapshot. $5 to get into the movie. They serve beer, they serve wine, they serve popcorn. Oh, but wait, there's more. At 6:15, 45 minutes prior to the movie, there will be a live preseason edition of Cheaters Never Win. So you look at September 30th on your calendar and you're like, it's a book day. We're officially going to call September 30th Hockey Day in Raleigh.
Because
you're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to go to PNC Arena, you're going to play on the inflatables, you're going to have a good day because it's the Caniac Carnival. And then you're going to get to see a full-length preseason National Hockey League game, which is the last preseason game, I believe, which should be the closest thing to an actual lineup that we'll see in the preseason against the Nashville Predators. After that, before the game, John Forslund's going to do his State of the Canes, probably going to do that with Tom Dundon or Don Waddell, somebody in the front office. And then after that, you can leave, make your way down to Five Points, stroll on into the Rialto Theater about 6:15, get your beer, get your popcorn, sit down, live, Cheaters Never Win. We're in the process of working on special guests as we speak, about a 45-minute episode, and then promptly at 7 p.m., we're going to be there to enjoy a screening of Slapshot with you guys. If you've seen it, you know you need to see it again. If you haven't seen it, why the hell are you listening to this podcast? Stop listening to this podcast. Go watch Slapshot.
No. Keep listening to this podcast. Wait. See Slapshot on September 30th for $5.
With us.
Yeah.
It's out there on Facebook. You can go by the theater early if you like to pre-purchase your tickets. We have every indication and hope that this will be a sellout event. So plan that now, 6:15 to 7, Cheaters Never Win, live at the Rialto Theater, 7 p.m., Slapshot. And until the next time, Derek, we'll probably be gone for a week or so. We'll be back with you guys in a couple of weeks. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and call it. Before the season starts on this very podcast, you'll be talking to Hurricanes majority owner Tom Dundon. Called the shot.
I know how much I love when you do that.
I know you're listening, Tom. We can't wait to have you on the podcast. Until then, my name's Mike. And maybe next time.
This is Derek.
We'll talk to you guys soon. We are out of here.
Yeah!